Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's such a blessing to be in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara. Tara last week beautifully orated the story of Esther, and it is amazing. Oh, I just could listen to her all day.
No, let's listen to God's word all day.
God's word, exactly. Yes. But Tara saying God's word is just beautiful.
And Sabrina singing God's word is beautiful. Isn't it good how God gives us our gifts?
Oh, he's so amazing. We were just talking about the miracles that we've seen in our lives, and just want to encourage you guys to believe in miracles, because he is a miracle worker. He is.
You know, I think we should just tell these stories real quick. I mean, about, without names, just at a conference I was teaching at in April at the Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma, a little baby was born deaf, and the doctors were going to be meeting with the parents to determine the course of action and what they could do so that he could learn sign and all. And at the conference, as soon as it was ending, I just felt led by God that we were to gather and pray. Now, I just stopped, and I said, we're supposed to be praying for this little one. I was about to say his name. And we all came up, and they brought him up, and everybody prayed, and we had believing prayers, and we had, you know, unbelieving prayers. You could tell we had the whole spectrum. And then when he went in, the doctor said, we have no explanation for this, but he can hear.
Wow.
And it was just amazing, because they were preparing for surgeries and for cochlear implants and everything, and he could hear.
Praise God.
And, you know, God is faithful. And then I have another friend, and this is here in Omaha, where her father was diagnosed with these tumors. It was like radically fast all over his body, and going to have the mother of all surgeries that they call for cancer patients. And they literally open your body up from your neck to your pelvic bone, and they have metal plates that keep the body open as the physicians put the chemical of chemotherapy. I couldn't think of the word. Chemotherapy in the body. And they use spatulas with the organs, moving the organs so that the chemotherapy can touch all of the tumors. And they have to do this whether they're benign or malignant, because they spread. And so it doesn't matter if it has the cancer or not. They keep growing, and, you know, you wouldn't have any room for them. And wow. So our group, our Bible study group, prayed, and one Monday night we all gathered and we prayed, and then we got a phone call last night that they had gone to the doctor for their preparation for the surgery, and they were rerunning the tests, and blood work came back that his blood is better than normal, and they're not doing the surgery. The doctor says this is a miracle. And he says, and it scares me, because wow. He had only seen this happen one other time in the history of what he does. And I mean, it stopped his mouth. The doctor couldn't even talk. It was amazing. And it's amazing. And then we were just talking about restored marriages, and that
yes. A
really bad marital situation, divorce that occurred, been separated for years, and seeing a marriage that's been restored recently in our lives, and seeing an entire family unit living in godliness, it blows the mind away.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, being holy, being set apart.
That's it.
Not holier than thou.
No.
Because that's what people say yeah. In our little, you know, wordum or whatever. But just being holy because he is holy.
Yeah.
That's what he's called us to do.
Yeah. And in the day of Esther, it was during a time when the nation was told to go back to Jerusalem from Persia. 50,000 of them did, but over a million stayed in Persia. They chose the easier road. I recently read in a really good book, if you want a good book recommendation, Dr. Larry Crabb, 66 Names of God. And he said, every morning we should wake up and ask this question, am I going to follow the narrow road, or am I going to follow the broad road? The narrow road being Christ, the broad road being the world, the flesh, or demonic of influence. And he said, every choice we have, every moment in every choice, we have the opportunity to walk on the narrow road, and we have the opportunity to get off and go the other way. And he said, we have to determine when we wake up in the morning, it's the narrow road for me today. And the nation of Israel at this point chose the broad road. They chose not to go the narrow road. It was going to be harder for them to get to Jerusalem. It was going to be harder for them to relocate. It was going to be harder for them to leave the luxury of what they knew in Persia, because Persia was a thriving city. It was a metropolis. It was huge.
It was a pagan city, right?
Very much so. And they chose to stay. Yet, even with choosing to stay, God was present. And even though the book of Esther does not name the name of God, it does not speak of God, you see the sovereignty of God at work through the circumstances. And that's the key, what we want to take from Esther. And sharing those, as Sabrina said, it's a pursuit of holiness. And this morning on my Facebook, I had posted, we have a choice. It's happiness or holiness. It's like almost like, you know, we're always in this pursuit of a happiness, but it's always elusive. It's like this dangling carrot we never can achieve.
Right.
And God says, you know what? It's not about happiness. He's not saying he doesn't want us happy. That's not it. But it's about our holiness. And then in our holiness, he has something greater than happiness, something that's based on happenings. It is a delight and a joy that oozes from the one who is willing to wait upon the Lord in his presence.
Mm.
And so the question that I wrote down when I was preparing this lesson was, what do we do when the wicked actions of evil men rob us of our peace, our place, our position, or our people? Because essentially that's what's happened in the nation of Israel. The wicked man was
Haman.
Haman. And what was Haman's goal?
To get rid of the Jews.
Why?
Because he was prideful.
Prideful. He was. He was extremely prideful. And I mean, there's nothing worse than being in the presence of pride. I hate it when it's me, and I hate it when it's somebody else. And
so
I don't know.
Poisonous.
It is like a dart that pierces on multiple levels in an incredible way. And I've had multiple situations in the last month where I've been in circumstances where I've been encountering pride in someone else, and being the recipient of, you know, them saying, you know, obviously you don't have it, but I do kind of attitude. But then I myself, while at Bible study, had to go up to two friends after Bible study because I said something. And it occurred to me, because a holy conviction where the Lord pierced me, as, you know, I went silent for a moment, you were so prideful. That statement was based out of pride, and only out of pride. Now, you get it right, girl. I mean, literally, it was like, oh my goodness, this happened to me on Monday night. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe I just did that. And I had 20 minutes left before Bible study was going to be over. It was killing me because I couldn't interrupt what was going on within the group. I kept trying to, but I could not get it to where I could say something, and had to say it afterwards. And the response of both of them was just like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, I mean, like, they were so shocked that I followed up on it. And these are believers, and these are my believers that hold me accountable. And, you know, but there's a surprise to it when we are willing to humble ourselves before God.
It's a sweet surprise.
It is. And that's what happens here in Esther, is that a spirit of humility is what takes over her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what enables her to be the one for such a time as this. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be the one for such a time as this.
Yeah, me too. I want to be that. I want to be the woman that fasts before I make a decision.
Okay.
That is going to be affecting not just myself, but my husband, my kids. What wisdom.
It is wisdom.
But it's sacrificial.
It is sacrificial wisdom. And I agree. And that's good, because I have fasted. But I had to guard myself, because guess what happened to my fast? I got prideful.
Little Hamanite.
Yeah. Lord, help us. It's just, you know, I so identify with Paul when he says, you know, I want to do what is right, but I
evil's
still,
right there waiting for me.
But I'm like still making those choices to do wrong. And
wretched man.
God help me.
Wretched woman.
God help me. So what I have done is, as I've walked through Esther, and I have certain points that we need to have, that we can notice that happen within the book of Esther, that I'd like for us to look at, where certain specific things begin to happen. So Sabrina, if you would turn in book of Esther to Esther 2, and I want you to read for us verses 17 and 18, just a few short verses. So let's look at those, and then I'm going to show you what happens, okay?
Okay. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality.
That's good. Okay, now, it's kind of funny, here is Esther being crowned queen, and it was at a royal banquet that Vashti was banished.
Right, and now his ex-wife.
And now they're throwing a royal banquet to celebrate the new wife, the new queen, and all. But that all aside, it is a time of peace. Okay? In all our lives, we're going to have a point of peace that happens. And it's in our moments of peace. This here is a big moment. It's a peaceful moment in Esther's life. I mean, she's being crowned queen. She is being placed the royal robe. She has found favor with the king. I mean, what's to complain about?
Right.
Okay. It's in our times of peace that our faithfulness will be revealed when our crisis comes. So I want you to understand, this is not about Esther just at that moment, which will be coming up. It is about a heart that is in pursuit of holiness. Okay. Even though we aren't seeing the under of it, her character that's going to be revealed is based on who she was at the moment that she was being crowned. It's in our times of peace that we prepare for our times of sorrow and suffering.
Right.
And
it's a perseverance, the testing of our faith.
It is. But what I want you to understand, it is not the times of peace that develop our character. It is the suffering.
Right.
And our suffering is what will most reflect whether or not there's holiness inside us. Okay?
Right.
So you prepare in that time of peace. And we have to remain faithful to who God has placed us to be and where God has placed us. That's key. Do you think that she wanted to be the queen separated from her uncle? Most likely not. Mm-mm. I mean, it doesn't tell us clearly in scripture, but she was separated from her uncle. She doesn't get to see him. She's now in the palace. She is a concubine. She's the queen, but until she becomes the queen, she's essentially just one of the women of the harem that the king has. I mean,
just a property.
She is almost nothing more than a piece of property. Not only that, you have to understand, they had eunuchs. A eunuch was a man that was fixed so that he couldn't be manly, so that they would not mess with the concubines.
That's what I was wondering what they were.
And they were in charge of not just guarding the women, but they were also the ones that helped them in preparation for what the king would want them to do. But they kept the women from interacting with anyone outside. This was a very secluded, secure, tight network where these women, I mean, really, they had to have become best friends with the women that they were in there with, or best enemies.
We're just isolated.
Totally. Totally. Just, can you imagine? And here, she's faithful. She remains faithful. What the eunuch tells her to do, she does. She is faithful to the task and the people that she's placed with, regardless of what she is thinking and feeling on the inside.
Right, because like you said, she might have been thinking, oh, I'm going to marry, you know, in her own, you know how we have our own thoughts and plans for our lives, and then obviously they don't always go that way. No. Majority of time they don't.
Right.
God has a perfect will.
He does, and he has a perfect plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that in our minds, we often think that it's that, oh, I was praying about this morning, and I don't know why. But it's almost like it's a trap. And I know it's not my trap. I know it's just my trap. I think it's the trap of all believers, especially in America, where we have this mindset of God as this, I don't know, this really doting, loving grandfather that, you know, you go and you climb on his lap and he caresses you and comforts you and you know, dotes on you. And you will always find favor with him as long as you behave right. But what, go ahead.
You like be the good person.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But reality is the reason why God sent Christ for us was because he isn't just a grandfather, but he has a plan to save us from him. Him. Okay, yes, it's our sins that separate us from him, but the sins have been forgiven on the cross. If we stay in our sin, the wrath of God will destroy us when it comes to judgment day. And in the book of Esther, we have this example of here, he is trying to save them from him. Okay, this is a very hard concept for us to even begin to fathom and grasp, but I really want you to grasp onto this because it's about recognizing God at work and seeing that it's not just being saved from our sins, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but it's the judgment of God upon us for our sins. Okay, right. And so it's not just the grandfather God, but it's also the wrath of God. And we, in order to really have the full measure of what holiness is, we have to know the full measure of the discipline of the one who loves us so much that he will discipline us in our sin.
That's right.
And we will not choose holiness if we do not fear the one that we want to be holy unto. And that's what's going to happen with the point of recognition in Esther. If we turn now, let's take a leap. We're going to skip over, Haman's plot, and we'll go into looking at the recognition of what is going on when Esther realizes suddenly that she has to make a choice. In chapter 3, it is all about Haman's plot to destroy the Jews because Mordecai would not bow to him.
Right.
And I don't know. There's something when somebody just doesn't do what you want, doesn't it? I don't know. I confess, I get pretty irritated.
Yeah, especially when you know that it's something easy. Just do it.
Yeah. And Mordecai would not bow to Haman, and Haman was demanding it. And because one person who's going to annihilate the entire nation. You talk about egomaniac. And in fact, the theologians and historians call him a demoniac, literally.
What's his name stand for?
You know, I don't know.
I was wondering if it meant something with pride or...
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to look it up. That's a good question. And so it's at the point of recognition that we recognize that God's moving. That's when change happens. And you got to come back next week to find out how the change occurs through Esther as she impacts the nation. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we just love hearing from you. Feel free to email us at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or at the Open Door Mission. God bless.